we can bring them here.
Thank you. I've just got a brief synopsis of some missions on behalf of High Peaks Limited and Trojan Holdings Limited. Just turning to some preliminary legal issues, and I should start by saying that these issues are really around a specific issue of proposal or the policy and the plan to open up Horn Creek and the associated rule that sits with that policy around buildings and the discretion associated with that activity and the opening up of Horn Creek. First of all, I raise an issue about jurisdiction and whether, it's a rule and a policy actually requiring the opening up of Horn Creek, whether it's a matter within the jurisdiction of the District Council. Regional councils have control of the use of land for various purposes, and I've relevantly set those out from Section 30, maintenance and enhancement of quality of water, maintenance and enhancement of quantity of water and water bodies, maintenance and enhancement of ecosystems and water bodies, and control of taking, use, damming, etc. of water. I refer to Mr. Church's evidence at paragraph 314, and he supports the plan's provisions providing for daylighting of the stream. And I say that the reasons that he supports that go towards my argument that this is really a regional council matter within the jurisdiction of that entity. He talks about the environmental benefits being stormwater attenuation and treatment, native planting providing local ecological habitats, ecological connectivity with links along environmental gradients for aquatic and terrestrial fauna, visual amenity, distinctive character feature, and provision of recreational links along the stream corridor.
Isn't if a district function, right?
Yes, it could be. Likewise, D, visual amenity. But I say that the other ones are more aligned with regional council matters and functions. He refers in his evidence, and it's footnote 69, not 699, to daylighting as a redirection of the stream into an above-ground channel. And in the context of the regional plan, Water for Otago, at the very least, this requirement for opening up the stream, opening up Horn Creek, would require the removal of a structure that is fixed in, on, under or over the bed of any lake or river. And I just have attached the relevant rule from the regional plan about that, which talks about demolition or removal of a structure. And it is permitted if certain preconditions are met, but I say that in this case, at the very least, if you're looking at opening up a Horn Creek, you're not envisaging a situation where the pipe would remain above the level of the bed of the river, because there's a large culvert along that section of Horn Creek. Particularly if you envisage successive applications that might come along and apply to open up, or be required, to open up the creek, you're not going to have the pipe completely removed. So at the very least, it's not going to satisfy that precondition and that rule, and you're into a restricted discretionary regime. Resource consenting requirements associated with giving effect to the policy, I say, are outside. Well, they're outside the jurisdiction of the district council. Rather, it addresses matters within the realm of the regional council. Possibly a virus issue. I say that this policy is directive. It requires the daylighting of the creek. But what if the situation, if you can't get a resource consent from the regional council? And the policy aim is frustrated to a point it may not be able to be given effect to. And I say that's not integrated planning, and the issue of Horn Creek is being considered as a nice afterthought without necessarily invoking the right planning jurisdiction or participants. So I see that as an issue here, that, you know, there is an issue about whether this is a regional council matter, or at the very least should be something that's done in combination with the regional council rather than within the district plan. Just moving on to the second sort of legal issue with the policy and rule, de facto designation for reserve or for open space or public access. I know that having listened to recordings and looking at the other information that's been lodged, other submissions have addressed the notion of de facto designations in the context of provisions seeking to provide pedestrian access or linkages in the town centre, and I say that this provision to open up Horn Creek and its associated enhancement works does raise similar issues as have been raised in the context of those pedestrian linkages or access. It's stated in the policy as a requirement. There's no financial responsibility on offer or compensation for lost development rights and significant cost to landscape and carry out other enhancement works associated with opening up the creek. And it secures an outcome that's for a public benefit, access, ecological enhancement, and also contains elements comprising a public work. And I've footnoted there a reference in section 42, a report where the council property and infrastructure team advised daylighting may assist with water attenuation and positive benefit for from a stormwater perspective. And I've also referred to the church evidence where he says the creek will provide local amenity and provide for open space needs. Opening up the creek will also complement the Warren Park Recreation Reserve located across the road, which is designated in the plan. The effect of those provisions is to secure public benefits without any adequate compensation. I just then refer to Mr. Freeman, who explores in his evidence some of the issues from a practical perspective with daylighting. And Craig and I agree with his evidence regarding the uncertainty created by the language that's used in the rule. Words such as substantially develop or redevelop and re-practicable. So those really are what my brief submissions about that limited issue of opening up the creek.
From a legal perspective, do you think that it would be within the district council's functions to encourage, to have a policy that encourages the opening of the creek?
Yes, I think that's perfectly appropriate. The issue I have here is that you know, the policy's requiring it to be done, and it...
some of the policies are... Yes, I understand your...
And the context of they having to apply for
a...
Yes, well, it's not so much that I suppose that the issue with the requirement for it to be done means that it then triggers a requirement for a resource consent process from, you know, outside necessarily the jurisdiction of the district council. That's the issue I have, with it. In the district plan, you're not able to build in higher order provisions that might promote or encourage that action as you might be able to otherwise do if that sort of rule was contained within a regional council instrument, where there could be, it could have a permitted activity status, or there could be some policy incentive around the desirability of that outcome. You're sort of crossing two jurisdictions, and I think there's a difficulty with that.
Any questions?
you. There's two pieces of paper that have just been handed over. One is from Mr. Brett Ellison, who is an Aotearoa property manager. Mr. Ellison is going to be here today, but he had to attend a board meeting in Christchurch, so that page in the book talks about Aotearoa's interest in the high school site with the first right of refusal, and just talks about Aotearoa's track record in terms of developing residential land throughout the country. Clearly Aotearoa have a strong interest in high school site subject to the first right of refusal process, so that's just a bit of background on Aotearoa. The second piece of paper is just a short one-pager responding to a couple of points from Ms. Balboa in terms of the minute that came out last week. I do apologise, I did leave my reading glasses in Queenstown, so I'm reading somewhat blind. Ms. Balboa has requested feedback from in relation to issues concerning recommended chapter for the business mixed use zone, as contained in the section of the police report. The first issue relates to the redraft provisions, specifically policy 16214 and rule 16.53 that deals with residential and visitor accommodation activities at Front Gorge Road. As previously stated, I do not have an issue with the desired outcome promoted by policy 16214 and rule 16.53. The issue in my mind comes down to the term fronting, because this is open to interpretation. I agree with Ms. Balboa that the term adjoining is more appropriate, combined with a setback distance of 10 metres for residential and VA on Gorge Road at the ground floor level. In my view, this terminology, combined with a specific setback, will ensure that anticipated outcomes on this issue are quite clear. The second issue relates to the daylighting of Horn Creek, as encapsulated by the redraft policy 16229 and rule 16.42 in part. After considering the additional observations from Ms. Balboa, I still remain of the view that the provisions relating to the daylighting of Horn Creek are very subjective and open to considerable debate. Ms. Balboa states that these provisions provide for flexibility, and that is a correct observation in my view. However, flexibility associated with terms such as substantially develop or redevelop, where practicable, have a high degree of uncertainty attached to them. The district plan can be the legal mechanism to deal with the daylighting of Horn Creek. However, in my view, there should be a detailed study undertaken on the practicalities, costs and benefits for the potential environmental outcome. This process should be led by the KLDC and the LRC with direct involvement of all affected landowners and other interested parties. If at the end of the study there is merit in daylighting Horn Creek in this location, then a standalone plan change could very well be the route to be adopted by the council.
Thank you. Just helping me orientate myself a little better first, if we refer to your Appendix A attached to your evidence, this identifies the land holdings that you're concerned with and also shows me the route of Horn Creek. Firstly, dealing with the Trojans property site, is the creek, as it passes through the Trojan site, is it fully culverted or...?
Yes. Okay. So if you look at the where the Horn Creek hits the orange of Trojan on the northern side, there is a big culvert that fronts onto the back of Manukau Park, so there's a big culvert there.
The back of, sorry?
If you look at, say, the green line of Horn Creek as it enters the top northeastern corner of the Trojan land,
mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a culvert there.
Yep. And you referred to a park. Where was the...?
Manukau Park, we've got the green and blue line coming off Gorge Road heading in an eastern direction with the words Horn Creek. Mm-hmm. And if we flow north towards Coronet Peak, that's Manukau Park.
Oh, right, yep. So it runs all the way through. Just, yep, I see now. That's kind of a wetland area there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And if you go further north above the Appendix A text, there has been some ecological park planting by the council in the past.
All right, and through High Peaks, is it covered there?
Yes, it is. So on the southwestern corner of the High Peaks land, it obviously juts across George Road, and on the land labelled Hensman and Skyline and other properties on the northern side of Hilton Place, the creek is is exposed, and from what I understand, the tidal boundaries for those properties sit in the middle of the creek. So there's a small portion of the creek, whether it's wet or flowing, those boundaries go to that point.
Now, just turning to your principal evidence, if I may, for a while, and to paragraph 29, this is where you're discussing policy 16.2.1.3. Yep. So this is the policy dealing with noxious, offensive, or undesirable qualities from locating. So it's looking into the future in terms of activities that have those particular attributes. Do you have any view about what's to be done about activities that might fit into that category that are currently active in the location in terms of providing for buffer distances and matters of that sort from those activities that currently operate within the zone?
Okay, so we have property X which has, let's say, a pound X on it. And then property Y next door wants to develop workers' accommodation. Would it be two issues? One would be obviously noise. We have to be dealt with through the ventilation requirements and the plan. And then the onus on mitigating selectively the amenity visual effects, in my view, would have to go on to the developer of property Y. Because I don't think the council could come back and say to the panel there, by the way, you need to erect a two-metre fence or you want to take planting, particularly when that building's most likely sitting hard on the boundary, because that's how it was originally developed.
And do you think the policy framework appropriately provides for that issue as currently drafted?
No, I think the policy deals with new activities coming in.
Yep.
So I think the policy deals with new activities coming in as opposed to dealing with the reverse activity issue of property X, property Y being developed. Property X has been there for 25 years and could be there for another 25 years.
Now, paragraph 36 is dealing with a different topic, this issue of the term fronting and a setback distance, if you like. Do I take it from your additional material that you're supportive of a 10 metre setback distance for residential and visitor accommodation from Gorge Road?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any view about what should be enabled within that 10 metre setback, or any views about restrictions of activities within that 10 metre setback?
Is that in relation to residential visitor accommodation or including commercial activities?
Well, if we just deal with residential and visitor first,
mm-hmm.
Are you thinking that setback would be utilised in part for landscaping? Should
yes.
there be restrictions on utilising it for car parking, or what's your thinking in that space?
Yeah, I think if I just go back to the main issue I have with that policy, in the previous referred to sites that front. So if we look at a site and the definition of the plan, that would mean residential activity could be back 2 metres on the high school side and still technically front Gorge Road. So my issue is providing that setback of 10 metres. But I think that setback should be used for definitely for some landscape response. Car parking, potentially. I'd loathe to see the drive-through with low landscaping and just cars all the way through or hard up against the boundary. So I think, yeah, definitely landscaping, potentially some form of vehicular access, particularly if there's going to be a predominance of commercial activities fronting Gorge Road.
Right, and in terms of detail, out of the 10 metres, what's your preference in terms of how much landscaping should be provided?
It's an interesting one. I walked up Gorge Road on the weekend, as you do, and went around for an hour and a bit, and like a lot of that area, the landscaping strips next to Gorge Road, they're reasonably skinny. It's quite flexible in terms of what's been planted and what's been maintained. I would say you're at least looking at a 2 metre, potentially 3 metre strip for landscaping. Ideally, and this is a point that I agree with as well, guys, is that looking at the Queenstown Town Centre zone has design guidelines. This area is a large area which has significant development potential. I believe the council should be looking at design guidelines for Gorge Road, if not at least for the public domain within Gorge Road, so we can avoid a situation where properties develop over the years and we have different landscaping, different requirements, so there can be a consistent approach in terms of the type of species, vehicle crossings. I think that would be a very good idea.
Alright, paragraph 37, this is dealing with lighting and whatnot. In terms of your view, is that policy directed at ensuring the appropriate location and direction of lighting as placed within properties? Is that what that's about?
Yes, I would say it would be lighting in terms of, say, associated externally on buildings, and then looking at you can see street lighting and the like.
So it deals with both. It deals with, you think, the location of lighting on properties, and it's also dealing with lighting on pavements and the like.
Yes.
In paragraph 50, I just wasn't quite clear about the meaning of the words in that policy 16.2.2.8 about operational and functional requirements of non-residential activities. What are they? What are the operational and functional requirements? What are we thinking about there?
I'd like to say vehicle egress. Loading zones, you look at the existing commercial activities on in that location, there is a need for proper access from Gorge Road, parking, there's also potentially hours of operation as well, so I think there needs to be potentially you've got an activity that will need a larger forecourt, so to speak, to gain access from Gorge Road, which may lead to a reduced landscape strip next to the legal boundary.
All right, so do you think those words, operational and functional requirements, they are clear enough, they are certain enough?
Yeah, I think they are, because if you're looking at, let's say, a courier driver business wants to operate there, as an example, well, clearly there's going to be the need for a lot of vehicles coming and going, potentially there might be the large B train from Christchurch at 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, so that would need to be demonstrated through an application to say, well, this is what we need to do for operating on this piece of land.
With your view about Horn Creek, do you see it as a separate process outside the district plan that the council can undertake, and rather than have something in the district plan?
Well, at the moment it's in the district plan, so it's there. My reservations is that there is a key player in all of this, and it's the ORC, and I'm not sure whether council has spoken to the IC, because you know, it's not just the amenity issue, it's also, let's face it, you know, that area 99, when I lived up in Gorge Road, got smacked by a lot of water, so there's natural hazards issues as well. So I think there needs to be involvement through with the OIC to ascertain whether this is feasible or not, because if we look at the location through of the colder portion of Horn Creek going on the eastern side of Gorge Road, clearly that was put there some time ago for a range of most likely practical reasons. And so if you look at going through just to the south of the Trojan land, it kinks in. Now, but that kink could be because Queenstown Hill is next door, there's a lot of schist, and that's why it's there. So I think it should be a separate process, or at least involvement of the OSC and engineering specialists to work out is it feasible or not.
Is there a possibility that the culverting is actually keeping the groundwater levels down?
I would be speculating, possibly. Mm.
The other question is there any ecological values in association with Horton Creek downstream or upstream?
If you look at, say, Horn Creek going through up by Matakari Park, where the two creeks cross and merge, when I was there on the weekend, I was quite surprised it's a weed fest. So it then goes under the culvert, and we go through on the western side of Gorge Road. By and large, it's a stream with grass and weeds growing next to it. It's when it gets into even through the back of the council building, it's been enhanced, and then it goes back underground again. Mm. And if you're looking at it, then the Gold Star part of Horn Creek is a village green, and that has is probably more an amenity area than an ecological area. It then goes through the Naitoha site. There's been quite a bit of mention about that site, that's the example. I dealt with that development for Naitoha 12, 13 years ago. That prior to my target developing, it was a concrete exposed stormwater drain. It's still a concrete stormwater drain on that occasion, but it's had some plants around it to soften it, and then it flows through the police site through there. So Horn Creek, if we start up by Industrial Place to where it hits the lake, has a variety of appearances, or where you can't actually see it because it's underground.
So is it any form of fishery?
Apparently it is. We had on the Naitoha site, going from a concrete culvert to a concrete culvert with flats next to it, the biggest dialogue was with fish and game. And that was also the spawning season. I don't fish, by the way, so I don't know about fishing. But the biggest issue was the time of year when we're doing the earthworks to avoid touching the precious trout and so forth. So it's a fishing game we're in there, so I assume it must be a spawning creek.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much. I don't know. Is there anything else you wish to add?
No, I'm good.
In the left face, I will do.
What are you starting out with in February? Is it Millbrook?
Yes. In Jack's Point. Good luck, everybody.